Well, last week I mentioned how I dominated our mock draft, and today I get to tell you about it. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, and Dave Richard.
Dave, did you miss the draft that Adam's referring to? Because the word Adam Azer and dominate, I don't think really go together.
I know exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. He was in a 15-round, one-team mock draft. And listen, the team you built was
it
amazing.
It is pretty good.
Sensational.
To give Adam credit, round one, he was about a 7 or 8 because it's kind of obvious who you're going to take.
I had the first overall pick. Right.
Round two, I think, was a very good pick. So he went from like a 7 or an 8 to a 9.
Uh-huh.
Round three, can only go up one more, a scale of 1 to 10. He went to a 10. And then from there, complete crash and burn. It doesn't matter what
I do after that. My first three picks were so good.
The first three picks were very good.
It's exceptional that your first three picks are the way they are, except it's not a three-man roster.
And I think there's a lesson to be learned for everybody who does pick first overall.
Well, let them decide. Yeah, let them decide if they like my
draft
team.
Better players.
Because I love my team.
What he did specifically at 2 and 3 overall. Second round and third round overall.
I love it.
You did something there that I really, really like, and we'll get into
it. Oh, you liked it. Okay, good.
I really did.
First three picks are great.
And I looked at your teams, and I like both of your teams very, very much. They're excellent. But, Dave, the fact that you drafted two quarterbacks and two tight ends, I'm interested in hearing about that.
I'll be happy to tell you about it.
We did a 15-round, 12-team mock draft.
What day is today?
Oh, today's Tuesday, May 7th. Welcome, everybody.
It is
Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. Do you guys know what I think of whenever I say, like, the podcast or the video show?
What do you think of?
I think of Spaceballs the breakfast cereal, Spaceballs the flamethrower. Like, just keeps naming all the brands. Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Who's taller, you or Martin Short?
Oh, it's got to be me.
I think it is.
Are you taller than me?
Yes, I'm taller than you.
He's not that tall.
I'm taller than you.
He's taller than you.
Put podcast or football.
But I could comfortably rest my elbows on both of your heads.
That would be weird. We're going to talk about the draft. We got these dynasty rankings that we might get to, and your emails that we will get to. So, yeah. All right, let's get to it. 11 running backs went in the first round. Calvin Johnson also went in the first round. One of those running backs was Maurice Jones-Drew. He went 12th. followed by Matt Forte.
That was an interesting pick. That was Nathan's pick.
Nathan had an interesting draft.
His draft was horrible.
What happened to Nathan?
I don't know.
Oh, I can tell you what he was thinking because we talked about it. We were arguing about it in New York last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about whether or not Maurice Jones-Drew was a good pick, and I completely I can't remember the last time I was this disappointed in a Nathan argument.
Because
usually he comes with good information, just like we all do. But this
It's pure speculation. I mean, clearly, if Maurice Jones-Drew is healthy, and you know, we discussed this during the draft, he said, "I guarantee you by the middle of August, we'll all have Maurice Jones-Drew in our top 10." And to which I said, "Maurice Jones-Drew is never going to be in my top 10 unless the 10 other guys are dead."
That would be so depressing, by the way, if all those running backs died.
It's too much of a risk at this point. At this point, what day is today?
Tuesday, May 7th.
Thank you. It's just too much of a risk on Tuesday, May 7th to take Maurice Jones-Drew in the first round. And Nathan, picking at the end of the first round, picking 12th, I understand if he really wants Maurice Jones-Drew, he's got to take him with those swing picks because he's not going to get back to him. But it's a waste of a pick at that point, in my opinion, because you don't know what you're getting. A, if he's going to be ready for the start of the season. B, you don't know if he's going to make it through the season. And as Pete Prisco said on our draft show, for anybody who watched that during the NFL draft, he said, from what he understands from his sources, and Pete is based in Jacksonville, used to cover the Jaguars, has a very on and off, hot and cold relationship with Maurice Jones-Drew. He said that right now, from what he understands, Maurice Jones-Drew getting his working on his degree at UCLA is, I think he said, 20 to 30 pounds overweight, which is not a good thing for a guy coming off a Lisfranc injury. So it's just tough. And you know, Nathan speculating on Maurice Jones-Drew getting back to the level that he was. That's just too risky for me.
And so I don't have a problem with him going running back.
Absolutely not.
At 12 and 13.
Right.
But I think the running backs that I would have taken there would not have been. And I think Forte would have been one of them.
Not me.
I like Forte a lot.
I would have gone with Ridley and Steven Jackson.
Let me just read round one.
I'd have gone with Forte and Jackson.
Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster.
I love Steven Ridley this year.
Marshawn Lynch, CJ Spiller, Trent Richardson, Jamal Charles, Doug Martin, Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy. I feel like the first nine are going to be pretty interchangeable.
It's going to be those nine guys. Yeah. But you might see Calvin thrown in there in a couple leagues. And there are still a lot of people out there that believe in taking a quarterback with a first-round pick. So your draft results may vary. You might have some dingus in your league who's going to take Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees in round one. More power to you.
What's a
if
dingus?
They do. I don't know.
Gentlemen's bet. How many quarterbacks will be in the first 12 picks, or how many quarterbacks will be in the top 12 of average draft position in August?
Two.
I'll say one.
I was going to say
I think
two.
There's going to be enough hype around Aaron Rodgers again.
Okay, that, I think it'll be Rodgers and Brees.
Most people will take him with a top 12
pick. It will never be in your mock first
round. No, not in mine. I'm not taking a quarterback in the first round unless in my league I can start two quarterbacks.
I always tell myself I'm going to continue to wait. In each draft that we do, I still take one much earlier than
that. No, because they keep falling, like in this draft.
Well, you're looking for value, and that's something we'll talk about.
All right, McCoy went 9th. Alfred Morris went 10th. Calvin Johnson, 11th. And then MJD, 12th. And then Matt Forte, 13th. And then Jamie Eisenberg, who had the 11th pick, took Stephen Ridley. Must be pretty happy to get Ridley there with the second pick of round two.
Yeah, I knew the way that it was falling that I was going to have my choice of either my 11th running back and my 12th running back, which would be Ridley and Steven Jackson, after Nathan did what he did. You know, so I would have taken either DeMarco Murray or Matt Forte if he had gone with Ridley and Steven Jackson. I think you just – if you take Calvin in that 10, 11, 12 spot, you're still going to be able to get a pretty good running back.
Oh, which you did, yeah.
Chris Johnson as well, in that mix now that the Titans have upgraded their offensive line.
So you were the guy who took Calvin in the first round. Mm-hmm. Dave, you had the 7th pick. You took Doug Martin. I had the 1st pick. We went with Adrian Peterson. So that's the theme of round one.
I don't think Doug Martin is going to be at 7 overall very often in drafts. I think he'll go sooner than that.
It's going to be the four guys after the top three – are going to be such a jumbled mix.
I think it's the guys after the first two.
Yeah,
I think it's
going to
be Adrian and Arian.
Lynch doesn't strike me as an obvious three, as the typical fantasy goer here.
We'll find out at the end of June. If he avoids a suspension, I think he's going to lock himself into that third spot.
I'm worried about him with Percy Harvin there, with Russell Wilson there, and the fact that he had a lot of carries. Not to say that I'm so worried that I wouldn't take him in round one. I just wouldn't take him at... What do I have him ranked? I think I'm like 7th in my rankings.
Yeah, he's never going to fall that far.
Yeah, so I'm probably not going to end up with Marshawn Lynch on my teams. It's not that I don't like him.
Sure.
I just like a lot of other running backs better.
Another theme, quarterbacks fell so far. Aaron Rodgers went with the second to last pick of round two.
Yeah, now that's never going to happen. I mean, we can speculate all we want to about how they may not go in round one. They're never going to fall this far. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So why does that happen in our mock draft?
Because, first off, it's the three of us plus Nathan, and all four of us kind of follow the same mantra. We're not going to take a quarterback early, and we're preaching that to everybody just because of the depth of the position. Mm-hmm. So there's four people off the board right there who are not going to take a quarterback in round one. I don't want to say his title wrong, but Jeff Tobin, one of our managing editors in our department, also along the same lines, because he reads everything that we write, he listens to all of our conversations,
and I think Hercomb would also fall into our group.
Yeah, and I was going to say
pretty much everyone.
Yeah, you know, it's
like a philosophy that we have, and I think it's a good working philosophy.
Yeah,
yeah. At this point, you know, the fantasy owner who's going to take a quarterback is the one that's sticking to their tried and true method of I have to get the best quarterback or one of the top three quarterbacks because that's the way I want to build my team. And they've had success doing it because Rodgers is always going to be good. Brees is always going to be good. Brady is always going to be good. Manning, when healthy, always going to be good in terms of Peyton. And they're still able to find the C.J. Spillers, the Alfred Morrises, that owner
later on in the draft, right.
Who has that mentality of, if I get Rodgers in round one, then I can still take five running backs, and one of those five will become a top 15 guy and sort of balance the where I should have taken the running back early on.
And there are people who are listening right now who do subscribe to that theory, and I'm telling those people, if you're one of them listening, you can wait until round two to get that quarterback.
In some cases, round three. But it depends on your draft.
It really does, because in round one, this year, what's the biggest difference between this year and last year? Last year, there were nowhere near as many safe running back picks available. There were like three. There were three running backs that we thought were okay, they're rock solid, they're safe. There might be a couple other ones that are still pretty good, but they're not up there with these three guys. Remember, we had two guys coming back from a torn ACL. We had a lot of other running back situations still weird. So, of course, Aaron Rodgers made it into our first round. Maybe not Jamie's first round, but into mine, and a couple other quarterbacks did too for me. You can wait this year. I promise you, you're going to like your team better, and you can try it with a mock draft if you wait to take a quarterback.
Yeah, but then again, if everybody's waiting and Drew Brees falls to you with the first pick of round three, which is what happened with me, I had to take him.
You had to take
him. Well, yeah, but, you know, Nando taking Rodgers, anytime there's a first player taken at a position, it's going to sort of set off a little bit of bells and whistles, because then you start to say, okay, I want to get one of the top three guys. I have to do it now. You know, and for you picking at the swing picks, you know, the one thing that you did, which was, you know, I know we sort of addressed this a little bit, is if you take – one guy at each of the two unique spots, quarterback and tight end being those positions, then you're going to leave yourself a little shorthanded as getting an elite player at either running back or receiver. In your case, it
would
be receiver.
What I did. I went with Gronkowski at the end of round two and Breeze at the end of round three. So after three picks, my team was Peterson, Gronkowski, and Breeze.
And what would you have done if both quarterbacks fell to you?
So I would have taken Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Yeah. And let me go through round two, and then we'll kind of break down your thoughts on going with a quarterback, running back, and a wide and a quarterback, running back, and a tight end with your first three picks. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's Forte, Ridley, AJ Green, Brandon Marshall, DeMarco Murray, Steven Jackson, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, Chris Johnson, Percy Harvin, Aaron Rodgers, Rob Gronkowski.
Five wide receivers in round two. I think that'll be common.
Yep,
I think you'll see 4 to 5 wide receivers.
You may get
going
six.
Round two. You might. Yeah, I don't know if someone's reaching up to get Larry Fitzgerald or Demaryius Thomas or Andre.
Harvin over Demaryius Thomas was a reach.
I agree.
Demaryius Thomas was one guy who fell that was shocking. When I was picking there with the third pick, I was like, Demaryius Thomas is still there? Maybe I'll take him.
Yeah, I had a tough call to make with my third pick with Demaryius because you know how much I love him. All right, let's talk about your draft, because I don't know if you can ever plan it out this well to have three elite players
you
at
have
their
three
specific
first
positions.
Yeah, that's why I'm fine.
It really
with
is
being,
how you feel.
Quote, weak at wide receiver, which is what everybody said I was, which I'm a little weak at wide receiver. But
right.
You know what made my team, for me, made me like my team? You guys know I always say I really like Darren Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
I got him at the end of the fourth round, and yep. I was sitting there like praying, please let Sproles fall.
But you're jumping around on everybody, and I really think that the focus should be on and what you did with your swing picks.
Okay.
End of round two, beginning of round three. Common theory, Adam, tell me if I'm wrong, you took the two best players available.
I don't always go that way, but in this case, I did.
Right. And if they weren't there, let's just say Breeze and Gronk were gone, and say two guys that were kind of reached for here, Percy Harvin being one of them, and then, I don't know, maybe Chris Johnson would have fallen to you there.
I wouldn't have done it.
Well, what would you have done? If Breeze, it's not like you were going to go and Peyton Manning or Graham and Tom Brady with those picks.
Right.
What was your original plan before you knew that Breeze and Gronk were going
to
be there?
Definitely always my original plan is to try to take, well, this year anyway, two running backs with two of my first three picks. So going into the draft, I thought I'd go running back one and then probably running back wide receiver.
Right. So maybe something like Chris Johnson and Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
Well,
like
let's
that.
Just say, for example, that.
But I don't. But I don't really like Chris Johnson.
Let's take Percy as an example.
Uh-huh.
Take Percy Harvin off the table,
mm-hmm.
and then you have an opportunity to take a receiver there. So take Percy Harvin and Gronk out of the equation.
Okay, so if I were gonna,
would have taken who? Demaryius
that's still
and
available.
Demaryius.
Yeah. Anybody who was taken after.
I couldn't have passed up on Drew Brees.
No. Okay.
I couldn't have.
So, but
here, let me read round three, because I don't really like round three that much.
Why?
For the value, because I don't like Reggie Bush at the
Why
beginning
not?
Of round three. It's not that I don't like him, but I think he's so much worse than Breeze and Gronkowski.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a completely different talent level. Yes, Drew Brees has easily ability to be the number one producer in fantasy football.
Yeah, and so, I get running backs aren't going to perform.
No,
like
but
a
also and Gronkowski, as we've illustrated, if he plays 16 games last year, he's the number one receiver. Forget about number one tight end.
Yeah.
He's the number one receiver based on his point projections. So you're talking about those two elite level guys versus Reggie Bush, who could be, in some cases, a top 10 running back.
Could be.
Could also be, you know, 20 to the 30 running back, you know, depending on how many touchdowns he's going to score and how many.
I.e., there's a little more risk with Reggie than there is with Breeze and Gronk.
Right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At that particular junction of the draft, given the running backs on the table.
What is your question? I didn't quite understand what you were asking.
Well, you're saying you don't like Reggie Bush in round three.
I think he will. I think he should go in round three. I don't want to be the one who takes him.
Right,
in round
and you can't really compare Reggie Bush versus Drew Brees because Brees falling versus Reggie sort of right. where he's going to go. You know?
No, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. You guys are. He should go in round three. I like you said with Marshawn Lynch, you're not going to be the one who takes him.
Probably not.
I'm probably not going to be the one who takes Reggie Bush.
But that's what I was kind of getting at. If you didn't have the opportunity to take Gronk and Brees.
Okay, if they were off the board.
And I'm taking Percy out of the equation because I think that was too high for him. Now, granted, that would have pushed somebody else down, you know, whether it's any one of those, you know, last three running backs in that round, whether it's Murray, Jackson, or Johnson, or potentially, you know, Dez Bryant or, you know, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas would have been there for you. Let's just say, for mm-hmm. example, you don't have the opportunity to take Brees or Gronk.
Okay, okay.
What would you have done there?
I would have taken probably Steven Jackson if he had been available. Mm-hmm. And
but he wasn't. I took him.
No, but we're saying if Brees and Gronkowski
I'm saying if let's just say
and
Brees and Gronk have
down.
Gone and pushed those other guys down. So
well, who are the other guys?
Let's just say Dave. Well, no, Percy Harvin is too high, so take him out of the equation completely.
Okay.
So I'm replacing Percy Harvin essentially with Demaryius Thomas, putting Demaryius Thomas in the pool there.
Okay. So and, we're pretending that Demaryius Thomas went 22nd
right.
Let's just say,
you know.
Make this easy. You tell me who my options are.
Your options at running back would be Chris Johnson and everybody below him.
So not Steven Jackson.
And
no. You're not going to get a shot at him at 24.
And Demaryius Thomas and all those other receivers.
I probably would have gone with...
Or Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is also somebody.
Then I would have gone with Jimmy Graham and Demaryius Thomas.
Okay.
So you still would have gone tight end there?
Yes, because I think Graham and Gronk are... worlds above everyone else.
Even
right.
with
you guys,
even with your philosophy of taking two running backs, I would have taken Chris Johnson for sure.
Because I just can't get around on Chris Johnson. I can't
even as your second running.
But
back.
But the funny thing that you're saying that, and you still took a guy later, who you hate as well.
Who?
Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, but I took him as my flex. I didn't take him with my second pick.
Yeah, but Chris Johnson, in a lot of people's minds, is still going to be a top 12 running back. Few people. I shouldn't say a lot. Few
Do
people.
You guys think he will be?
No, but he definitely has improved himself over the offseason just based on what they've done.
So you would have taken Chris Johnson if he had followed you there?
Well, but here's the thing. If you're telling me I've got to pick two out of three from Gronk, Brees, and Chris Johnson.
No.
No, Gronk and Brees are off
oh,
the table.
Oh, no, no. Then yes, I'm taking Chris Johnson if those guys are off the table.
I would have gone away. I would have probably gone away from my philosophy just because of personal bias, but maybe I need to come around on Chris
Well,
Johnson.
No, that's fine. I mean, to come out of your first three picks with Adrian Peterson, Jimmy Graham, and Demaryius Thomas, that's no slouch.
Happy.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a potentially top five wide receiver, potentially a number one tight end.
Yeah, I think if you can build your team with three of the best players at their position,
right.
and like you guys said, three first-round picks, then I think, well, that wouldn't have been the case with Demaryius Thomas, but... I think you can be a little bit weak at other spots, and that's what I was going. I knew I was going to be weak at wide receiver. I knew I might be weak at second running back. I was thrilled to get Darren Sproles, but I didn't care because, first of all, I just wanted to see some mock draft. I wanted to see what my team would shape up like if I gambled.
Right. I think it's a good exercise.
Yeah,
that you did.
And I was happy with my team. Anyway, I think
the
we
rule,
should move on.
Though. The one other thing I wanted to point out is I'm going to do a story on how there's a connection between the quarterback pool and the tight end pool. And on draft day, I think it's fine to get one of those two positions early. But both with your first three or four picks could sink your team.
Yep.
And your roster is going to be an example of that. However, I can't say that what you did is wrong because of what I think of Drew Brees. I think he's outstanding. And I think Gronk, assuming he's healthy, and I'm pretty sure he slipped because there are some people who think, well, I don't know how
it's
his arm's going to be.
Tight end.
Right. Well, what do you mean by that?
People are afraid to draft a tight end early.
I don't think people should be afraid to draft.
No,
a tight
but
end
people
early.
Are. I mean, you're weighing the value of, you know, Dez Bryant, who's a top five receiver, versus Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. So let me just to
and,
finish
and
it.
There's
so
the
not...
whole supply and demand issue with tight end versus wide receiver. You need at least two wide receivers, whereas you only need one tight end.
So the rest of my team, and I don't want to make this the me show, but the rest of my team filled out like this:
me,
Brees,
me,
Brees, Peterson, Sproles,
and Sproles was your fourth round pick.
Yeah. Followed by, I think, Ryan Matthews. I took in
Matthews
the fifth
was
round.
Your swing.
He's
you want
my
me to read to you?
Right
I've got
now.
It right here.
No, it's okay because it ends up with being Brees at quarterback, Peterson and Sproles at running back, Garcon and Amendola at wide receiver.
And Garcon, you took end of round six, Amendola, start of round seven.
Gronkowski is my tight end. And then at my flex, I choose between Ryan Matthews, Ahmad Bradshaw, Ryan Williams, and then I pick Justin Blackmon the day before he got suspended. Vincent Brown, Keenan Allen, and Toby Gerhardt to back up Peterson.
Yeah, you just, you know, you have a, let's just assume Justin Blackmon wasn't suspended when you drafted him.
Yeah.
You just have a bunch of twos and not a clear-cut one.
At receiver. Yeah, and I knew that was going to be the case, and I was fine with that. The big pick I made was Matthews over Decker. And in a vacuum, I like Decker better, but I just believe in stockpiling running backs.
Well, it was also over Colston as well.
Yeah, you could have had Colston instead
of
Matthews.
Or Cecil Shorts if you believe in him. Or Jordy Nelson.
I could have, yeah. But since I didn't love Sproles, I mean, I like Sproles a lot, but I don't know. I wanted to pick Matthews, bolster the running back.
Yeah, I would just say that your top three picks are as good as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
And then it's a lot of maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. And you know, anybody that's been listening to us all offseason, I had basically the same draft, the one we did right after the Super Bowl, where my first three picks, I forget the running back I took, but I, you know, picked somewhere in the top seven or eight picks, and I took one of the running, I might have taken C.J. Spiller. And then I took, I believe it was Gronk in round two, and then Cam Newton in round three.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the same exact thing, and my receiving core was the same. It was a bunch of question marks. It was Antonio Brown, Torrey Smith, Kenny Britt. It was a bunch of guys, twos and threes, just sort of stockpiling it. The rest of my team I thought was very good. Receiver was a little bit iffy.
Yeah, you know, maybe I should actually play out a league this year like that, and just to see. Pick a running back early and a tight end and a quarterback. I don't know if
they all stay healthy. And Gronk being the question mark.
It's 55 points minimum per week from those three guys.
Yeah, you're dominating those three positions. You know, and if Sproles is what he is, which clearly, you know, you have to speculate at this point that he should be, because barring the injury last year, he would have been great. You know, again, you project his numbers over 16 games, he would have been very close to what he did 2 years ago. You know, you're good there. Amendola, you know, I don't need to tell anybody. He could be Wes Welker, which is a steal. Pierre Garçon plays.
He could also
games.
Be Danny Amendola.
Sure, but I mean, you know, he gets the opportunity of a lifetime right now. So, you know, you're in very good shape. You know, whereas I think if you compare your team to mine and Dave's, where we have probably a lot more balance than you do.
Yep.
We just don't have those three elite level guys to dominate those positions.
I'll go read some more of the draft picks. Sorry for commandeering the show.
Sorry,
you only commandeered it because it was interesting.
When you tweeted out, you know, say we review my team and only my team.
Round three was Breeze, Reggie Bush, Frank Gore, Larry Fitzgerald, Lamar Miller. Was that a reach?
A little bit.
Darren McFadden, Jimmy Graham, Demaryius Thomas, Randall Cobb, Andre Johnson, Peyton Manning, Roddy White.
How about only four running backs?
It wasn't
in round three.
Just the Lamar Miller pick. It wasn't necessarily a reach. Based on the running backs here, because, you know, that's personal preference between McFadden. They're very close, I think, in all of our rankings, Miller and McFadden. You know, David Wilson, I think, should definitely be in the conversation with Lamar Miller as well. Those two guys, I think, are almost going to be joined at the hip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily a reach in terms of taking a running back there. It's a question of the running back, you know, okay. And you know, even Sproles should be in that conversation as well.
Okay, Vincent Jackson.
I thought the Randall Cobb pick was a little too early as well. I love Randall Cobb, but round three I think is too soon. Like, to take Randall Cobb over Andre Johnson, whatever you think of Randall Cobb.
It's crazy.
There's
and Roddy White.
Track record there.
Yeah,
I like Roddy
White. Roddy
White
going to last
Cobb.
Pick of round three is
I think that's excellent
good.
Value.
And Vincent Jackson, same thing.
Vincent Jackson,
and
first pick
those were Nathan's
four.
Picks. So after we criticized them for taking MJD with his first pick at 12th overall, he did very well for himself getting Roddy and V-Jack on the swing.
Right.
Then we go with Vincent Jackson, round four, pick one. David Wilson to Jamie, Tom Brady, Hakeem Nicks.
By the way, I was debating David Wilson at the end of round three. And so knowing that Nathan had taken two running backs, I didn't think he was going to take one.
Smart move.
So you went
with the quarterback, thinking that he might have gone with
Peyton. Yeah, you know, Peyton to me, you know, again.
Over Brady, yeah, yeah.
Well, I like
Peyton, I like him better
over Brady. You know,
too.
Again, that's splitting hairs. It's almost like how you feel about Breeze and Rodgers. You know, it's like those two guys, you can almost flip-flop, and you can flip-flop the next two guys in terms of Peyton and Brady. But yeah, Peyton, to me, in most drafts, is going to be a round two guy. Most of our standard drafts, you'll see average draft position. And to get him at the end of round three, you know, again, that's why I didn't pass him up in that spot. I probably could have waited to round four, but I still got my guy in round four anyway, and I didn't know if Nathan was going to pull the trigger on taking Peyton there.
Okay, then so it goes Jackson, Wilson, Brady, Hakeem Nicks, Cam Newton, Victor Cruz, Wes Welker, Colin Kaepernick, Michael Crabtree, Matt Ryan, Reggie Wayne, Darren Sproles in round four.
And there's some sticker shock in this round. Kaepernick in round four, I think some people
not
are
based
be
on where the quarterbacks are going, though. I mean, because a lot of people, you have, I think, Kaepernick as your sixth quarterback.
I do.
And so does Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're taking him over the, or I'm sorry, he went the sixth. was a sixth quarterback.
No, fifth, I think. Went before Matt Ryan.
No, he went sixth.
Oh, Cam Newton. I forgot about Cam. Sorry.
Brady, Cam, and then
Cam Kepler. Is a quarterback.
So, again, if you want him there, there's a spot. The two things that jumped off the page to me, Akeem Nicks should not go in round 4. I don't care what you think of Akeem Nicks coming back. That was too soon.
And what about Crabtree in round 4? I think it's warranted. Oh,
I would have taken Crabtree 10 out of 10 over Wes Welker. I think the upside is way more in Crabtree's favor than it is in Wes Welker's favor.
That's interesting.
Round 5, Ryan Matthews. To me, Dave, by the way, his pick was Victor Cruz in round 4.
Yep.
Then Marcus Colston, Eric Decker.
And I would have taken, again, personal choice, I would have taken Crabtree for sure over Cruz.
Okay, Russell Wilson.
Do we need to get into that? Should we talk about that?
We're kind of running out of time. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying.
You want to make a quick point?
No, not really.
Okay. Russell Wilson, Aaron Hernandez, Matthew Stafford, Monte Ball. Dave Richard takes the first rookie. And that's the middle of round 5. Cecil Shorts, Robert Griffin III, Vic Ballard, Le'Veon Bell, Chris Ivory.
Yeah, the four running backs at the end there, I think, are all great value picks.
Yeah, but was that your second running back?
Me?
Dave?
No, that was my third.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, that's got to be your third to feel good about it, right?
Absolutely. Not necessarily.
No?
No. We both have him as top 24 guys.
I mean, you can still take him as your number two, but I know how thin it's going to get at running back later on in the draft.
Right.
And I felt good about my team, and I wanted to get a third running back to go with the two that I already had. I already had Doug Martin and Steven Jackson.
I meant this
grouping. And I wanted to get Bell.
More so than Ball in particular, but Ball, Ballard, Bell, and Ivory.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be all right with them being your number two or more like number three?
If places? I had a team like yours,
yeah,
then absolutely. Like if you were to tell me that I took those three picks, Peterson, Breeze, Gronk, receiver round 4, and then round 5 come back and get one of those running backs if I had the opportunity to.
Say you took
love
a Cruz or a Crabtree to be your number one
receiver.
Love
my team that way.
Yeah, okay.
The way I was looking at your team, again, not to get back to the Adam Hazer show, but just the way that the draft fell, instead of taking Sproles, I would have gone Colson or Decker in round 5. And then you could have come back in round 6 and taken...
That would be round 4.
No?
Yeah.
First pick of round 5.
I'm sorry. I would have... Well, I'm sorry. Okay, so instead of Matthews, let's just say you go Sproles, and instead of Matthews, you go Colson or Decker.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then I would have come back and taken... And I think you'll probably see, Adam, the way that our rankings are now, comparatively to where they were when we did the draft.
Yeah.
That we've all pushed Matthews down a little bit.
Because of the rookies?
Just because of, you know... Because
of who he is.
Yeah. Like, I had Eddie Lacy ranked ahead of Matthews.
Okay.
So I would have, let's say, passed on Matthews, taken Colston or Decker, and come back, and just, again, the way that this particular draft fell, you could have still gone with either of those receivers, Garcon or Amendola, which would have been your second, and then taken Eddie Lacy to be your flex.
Not a single one of us have Matthews in our top 24.
Like, that rank...
Well,
that
is my third running
that,
back.
That roster, to me...
Yeah,
better.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I should have done that. That was the one decision I wrestled with the most, the Decker-Matthews one. Okay, that's the last round I'm going to read. This will be the last round I'm going to read, round 6. The rest of it, I'm assuming, on the website?
It's already there.
Okay.
Along with a breakdown of who's on everybody's team.
So you didn't read our teams since we made
I'm
the
going to.
He'll do that in a second. Let him get through round 6.
I'm probably going to read my team a few more times first, and then I'll get to yours. Round 6, Jason Witten, Jordy Nelson, Mykel Ashore, Jonathan Stewart, Steve Johnson, James Jones, Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Brown, Rashard Mendenhall, Pierre Garçon.
All right, so three running backs in that round, and they're not even close to the same kind of running backs that were available 20 picks prior.
Oh, I disagree. Mendenhall is.
Well, he could be.
I think he
But
is.
They also drafted two running backs
for their
there.
Future. Mendenhall's got a one-year deal.
I think a lot of people are going to be nervous about drafting Rashard
As
Mendenhall.
They should be, but my personal opinion is to get him there, I would have taken him in the...
You're taking him ahead of LeSean and Stu, right?
Yes.
Right.
And I'm taking him ahead of...
Any of these rookies?
Lacy. But he went ahead of Lacy, so it doesn't matter.
I agree with that.
All righty.
I'm not the biggest Mendenhall fan.
What about Ryan Williams?
Ryan Williams, to me, that was a definite indication of the draft, the way that they pick guys, because they're looking at their future. Mendenhall's not going to be there long term. He signed a one-year deal. Bruce Arians knows what he's going to get out of him. You know, forget about age. Mendenhall looks like he's near the
end of his
life.
He's a Band-Aid.
Yeah. And they took flyers. I mean, you got to also look where they took him, round 5, round 7. you know, Ellington right. fell, which was a shame.
Right. I think when they took Ellington, that was just like a bonus for them.
Absolutely.
And Taylor was the guy they kind of liked.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Bruce Arians is pretty clear cut in the way he likes to coach. He wants one guy. He's going to stick to a guy. Whether Mendenhall can make it through 16 games, whether Ryan Williams can make it through 5 games, you know, they have options now. And so, you know, I just, knowing what Arians said to me in the owners' meetings about Rashard Mendenhall and his history with him and the way that he, if you look at the way that he coached, I think it's an indication that if Mendenhall can stay healthy, he's going to be the guy there. That's why I kind of believe in him a little bit.
Dave had the 7th overall pick in this draft, and his team is as follows: Romo and Dalton, Steven Jackson and Doug Martin, Victor Cruz and James Jones would be his 2 starting wide receivers. Jimmy Graham and Martellus Bennett are his tight ends. And then at flex, you're looking at Dwayne Bowe, Monte Ball, Isaiah Pede, Joseph Randall, Mike Williams.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
Well, I know you wanted to ask me about getting 2 yeah. quarterbacks and 2 tight ends, which is something that I think I would say don't do.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, but
I think you wasted the Dalton pick for sure.
You know what? I think if anything, I wasted the Bennett pick. But let's
where you took him. Yeah,
let's start with this. It's round 11, and I'm looking at who's available in round 11. And you know, normally I like to stockpile running backs. Mike Goodson just went in front of me. That was a guy I liked a lot. I don't really like any of the other guys that are there. There's Gillis Lee, but there's no running back that I'm really even remotely interested in. Then I turned to the wide receivers, and I remember looking at the wide receivers, and I had the exact same feeling. There just weren't many wide receivers that I felt good about. I really hesitated on taking Andy Dalton then, and I looked at my rankings, and I saw Martellus Bennett was still one of my top 12 tight ends that was still available. I like Martellus Bennett this year. I've done a 180 on him. I've seen the positive on what he can bring to a team after what he did with the Giants last year, and I think he can do that for the Bears. So I just picked the best player available. Looking back at it again, maybe I could have gone, and this is going to sound even worse, and I think this is why I didn't do it. I could have gone with a DST in round 11, but that's too soon. I really felt that Bennett was the best player available when I took him in round 11.
See, if I were
normally,
you,
I would never take another tight end with Jimmy Graham.
I would have taken a lottery ticket there.
Like who?
I'm just looking at the guys that went after.
The 2 lottery tickets that I saw were both tight ends.
Well, you took one in, I'm talking about running backs. You took one in Randall. 2 rounds later, which was good. But I'm just looking at that round in particular. Turbin is a lottery ticket. Pierre Thomas is a lottery ticket.
But that's 2 rounds later.
Bernard Pierce is. Yeah, but.
But there are lottery tickets that I don't want to wait on, whereas Bennett could be productive and I could use him as my flex if I needed to. Not that I would ever use him. I drafted Monty Ball to be my flex in the first place.
I'm probably never going to use him.
Is there a handcuff to Doug Martin?
It's Mike James right now.
Yeah.
At least the way they're talking in Tampa.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. James. The cane. Yeah, I mean, I could have gone with the handcuff there. But I didn't want to. I felt really good about my running backs at that point. And I knew that Joseph Randall would be waiting for me later. So
Mike James is not a lottery ticket, by the way.
No, I know. he's a scratch-off, if anything.
Yeah.
I don't mind getting a second quarterback with Tony Romo, although Romo is one of those quarterbacks I think you can draft as your starter, and you don't have to take another one. By the way, I got Romo at a great value in this draft. Let me see. I think round 8 is when I got him. 90th overall. Tony Romo falls right into my lap, and I'm just giddy as a schoolgirl.
Hercum took Andrew Luck 2 spots ahead of Tony Romo.
Dalton, I would have done that too. Dalton is my – I think I have it ranked this way, that Dalton is my favorite non-number one fantasy quarterback, and I got to double-check and see. Eli might be ranked ahead of him. But I really like – he is. Eli's 13 and Dalton is 14.
You like your team?
I like Dalton. Yeah, I like my team. Okay. But, you know, I'm a big fan of James Jones. I think he's going to continue to score a lot of touchdowns. I don't mind him as my number 2 receiver. I know I like him more than both Jamie and Nathan. I think Cruz is still going to be a good number 1. And if they don't work out, Dwayne Bowe's on my bench. And Bowe has proven to do well,
I think you got
even with mediocre quarterbacks.
3 number 2s.
A wide receiver?
Yeah.
And what about Mike Williams? Everybody's sleeping on Mike Williams, but he's had 2 out of 3 years worth over 900 yards and at least 9 touchdowns, at least 60 catches a year. He's in a contract
year.
He's a good
number 4.
Freeman's in a contract year. I think he's a good number 3,
mm.
and he's my number 4. I like Mike Williams. I like a lot of these guys.
Not a bad player at all.
You know what I did, Adam? I drafted players that I like, so I feel good about my team.
Jamie's team, Peyton Manning, Stephen Ridley, and David Wilson. Calvin Johnson and Jordy Nelson, Antonio Gates, Le'Veon Bell, Mike Gillisley, Mark Ingram, Pierre Thomas, Tavon Austin, Josh Gordon, Emmanuel Sanders. Those guys can rotate in at flex. Well, you and Dave have a theme here. If you hit on Monte Ball and Le'Veon Bell, then you're going to be pretty set at flex. If not, it's a little more interesting.
But well, I have two questionable running backs between David Wilson and Le'Veon Bell just because they're unproven.
But you can hope that one of them can step up.
One,
and if they both fall through your fingers, at least you've got two of the Saints guys.
Right. One of them should. To me, Pierre Thomas fell way too far. Just based on, you know, no Chris Ivory there.
I don't know. I've been a big advocate of Pierre Thomas's for a long time.
Yeah, but as a fourth running back,
right.
You're not going to argue that. And for me, he's my fifth.
155th pick overall. I can't complain.
That's what I'm saying. He fell
much.
Too far. So, you know, you know what you're going to get from Pierre Thomas. You're going to get probably three or four really great weeks. You're probably not going to start him those 3 or 4 weeks. You'll start him the next week and he'll disappoint you. But that's just, you know, the nature of who he is. And if you're stuck, you're stuck. I think Mark Ingram takes a step forward this year. I kind of like him as that tail end of that third group, fourth group, you know, start of that fourth group of running backs, you know. So, again, guy you can take mid to late round pick as hopefully your fourth. In some cases, people are going to end up with him as your third, but I do think he takes a step forward. Gillisley, to me, is another lottery ticket type of guy because if something happens to Lamar Miller and he is that number two guy, he's not a great running back, but he's in a good situation. And then I love my receiving core. I mean, I think Jordy Nelson's in for a huge bounce-back season. Calvin Johnson, clearly, you can't argue with where I took him at 11th overall. And then, you know, at that point, now I'm taking just upside players. So Tavon Austin, clearly we all love his opportunity in St. Louis.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot.
Josh Gordon, to me, is somebody who can take another step forward.
You got him.
With the new coaching staff.
You got Tavon round 7.
Yeah, and to be honest, right before I took Tavon, I was hoping for T.Y. Hilton. Because I do think T.Y. Hilton's a little bit better than Tavon Austin.
Yep.
But he went right before me, so I took my fallback option, which was awesome. And then we've debated the merits of Emmanuel Sanders. I'll take a flyer on him being the starting wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year and the chances he's going to get.
You got him in round 12.
And yeah, and then Antonio Gates, you know, I really didn't expect to draft a player of his potential. You know, I hope the way he closed the season last year, his last three games, he scored a touchdown each of those three games. So hopefully that's something that he can build on. And, you know, again, if he bounces back, just looking at the tight end position. Now, Adam, I did do, you know, you asked us to sort of make...
best and worst.
Yeah, in each round?
No, just anything that stands out.
Oh, well, I, you know, some
but
of the...
Thank you for the effort.
Some of the picks that I thought, you know, I'll start with round 6 because we sort of talked about the other ones. Jordy Nelson falling to round 6, I thought was, again, I'll take that all day. I like Pierre Garçon at the end of round 6 as well for you.
Thank you, Jamie.
In round 7.
My awesome team.
you know, I think Tavon Austin's probably going to creep up a little bit just based on hype. So round 7, I like him falling there. I hated Bill Pisano took Brandon Pettigrew in round 7. To me, that's a huge reach.
Wow.
He took him ahead of...
He took Ben Jarvis in round 7, Jamie.
Yeah, in round 8 he took
Pettigrew. Yeah, you said 7.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
7th pick of round 8.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins in round 8 was a huge
reach. Little too soon.
Your Ryan Williams pick in round 8 I didn't like.
How about Rudolph in round 8?
I don't mind that.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really realize the Ryan Williams situation.
Yep. Round 9.
Ryan Williams and Justin Blackmon back-to-back winners. Right. Of course, I didn't know about Blackmon.
Right, I wasn't going to bring up Blackmon.
Yeah.
Round 9, you know, this is, you know, not to harp on Nathan's team. He was the last person to take quarterback, and he took Vic and Eli Manning.
So rounds 9 and 10.
Round 9 and 10. So
I like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do if you miss out on a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, Eli is the 13th best quarterback coming into the season. He could jump to 12 if Robert Griffin III is not healthy.
I don't know if I'd take both of them though.
Well, that's the thing that I kind of made a notation on. I wouldn't have done both either. I would have gone Eli, taken something else, and he could have had his pick of a number two quarterback down the road. Because Eli is, look, if there's anyone that I would peg for a bounce back, it's Eli Manning. He was completely miserable last year. It took that that huge game against the Eagles,
last
game of the season, to move him from the 22nd best quarterback, I think, to the 14th.
Wow. By the way, we're not going to do emails today. I think we'll do mailbag next week, but we'll finish off our draft thoughts today. Go ahead.
In any event, Will Brinson took Cordell Patterson in round 10. That was a little too high, in my opinion.
Brinson talking smack about his team.
I didn't like you taking Keenan Allen around 11, but I can understand taking a flyer at that point.
There's better flyers out there.
Yeah. Round 13, I like Dave's pick of Joseph Randle. I like the Turbin pick. I like Pierre Thomas there, Bernard Pierce. You know, again, you're just kind of taking chances on guys and situations, and that's the end of where I made notes.
Yeah, so I think for me and for probably most of the listeners, because I'm a lot like the listeners out there, I'm not as entrenched in it as these guys. My job now is to look at the draft and figure out the mid to late round value picks, because I can do the first probably 8 rounds in my sleep and feel really good about it. But then it is, yeah, like I make a mistake on Keenan Allen and not take Chris Givens, who went one pick after
it's that. It's not a mistake. You know, the thing about...
It's figuring out, though, who gives you the best value. Right. Like, Pierre Thomas falling is maybe obvious to you, not obvious to
like
me.
Like, you made a note of the rookies, where they went. I'll tell you the picks that I love, just in terms of the rookies. I think what Dave and I did with Ball and Bell in round 5 is the perfect spot to gamble, if you want to call it that, on those two particular players, because you're not reaching for them, you know, in round 4, which is where some people may do it. I saw another mock draft on a competitor site where Monte Ball in a PPR league went round 2. No chance. You'd ever see me do that. Like that Eddie Lacy round 7, Tavon Austin round 7 as well. Zach Stacy is somebody that you're going to hear us talk about a lot. To me, it's opportunity. Complete opportunity. You know, you may think he was very good in college. You may think he was a waste of a pick there for the Rams. But they needed someone to come in and challenge Isaiah Pede and Daryl Richardson. And Stacy, you know, just listening to what Jeff Fisher said at the coaches' meetings when he mumbled through his mustache, they wanted a big back. And this guy can run between the tackles, and he can give them that sort of guy to push Isaiah Pede, who was a complete bust last year, and Daryl Richardson is more of a change of pace, third down guy. If you get Zach Stacy in round 8, you're going to be the happiest camper in the world.
Okay.
I think you depending on how smart your league is, you might be able to get him later than round.
But I wouldn't risk it.
Dave, were there any
probably
picks
not
that really? But
I'm sorry, just to.
Oh yeah, you want to finish it off?
The receivers that went in this next group: Hopkins round 8, Patterson round 10, Allen round 11. They're all nice players, and even Marcus Wheaton in round 13. I like that. Just where he was drafted, I think it was by Darst. J. Darren Darst.
Yeah, it's Pittsburgh guy.
Right. The rookie receivers are going to struggle a little bit outside of Tavon Austin just because of the touches. DeAndre Hopkins, great opportunity. Patterson, great opportunity. But I don't know how much you want to buy into them unless we're talking double-digit rounds.
Yeah.
You know, and you really have to love your team to sort of take a flyer on those guys.
Okay. But Dave?
For the love of Charles Ramsey, do yourself a favor and get running backs with your first 6 or 7
Charles
picks.
Charles Ramsey.
Because after that, it's so risky. We're talking about Zach Stacy as a round 8 pick. This is a 5th-round running back. I loved what I saw from him at Vanderbilt. No guarantee. He's one of 3 guys in the mix for St. Louis. No guarantee that he's going to get 10 touches a week, but we love his game. We love his skills. Maybe in training camp he gets to that point where in round 8 you draft him, and Jamie just made the point, you don't want to wait because there is a lot of dirty, disgusting running backs that are going to be waiting for you if you pick and choose quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends early on and you skimp on the running backs. I'm telling you, running backs are very, very important, and that was my motivation for getting Monte Ball with my 5th-round pick. Another theme I'm going to talk about all preseason long is going to be waiting for your tight end. Tony Gonzalez went in round 6. Jason Witten went in round 6.
But that won't happen, though.
Owen Daniels went in round 10. But even if it doesn't happen, as a fantasy owner, this is advice that you can take to the bank. Greg Olsen went in round 10. Martellus Bennett in 11. Jared Cook in 12. Jermichael Finley in 12. Gronkowski at the end of round 2. Jimmy Graham in round 3. They all were good values. And I think if you focus on just getting a tight end at a good value, you're going to feel good about it, because here are 3 tight ends in this draft that I don't know if they are good values. Aaron Hernandez in round 5. We all love Aaron Hernandez's upside. I just don't know if he can deliver there compared to some of the other picks, like rookie running backs that were in round 5. Brandon Pettigrew in round 8. That makes me want to do the Jamie noise. There it is. And then Kyle Rudolph also went in round 8. That's a double.
No, disagree.
That is.
Here's the thing.
So I think if you reach for a tight end, you're in big trouble.
But here's the thing. I totally agree with everything you said. The problem is that there's maybe in a 12-team league, there's 3 or 4 people who sort of have the same sort of thinking and philosophy that we have. Unfortunately, there's 7 or 8 other owners
But that's okay because that the people that have our philosophy right, are the ones that are going to have
well,
the better
he knows
draft.
That this is not realistic, but he's just making a point
but,
in general.
But I guess, you know, we have to sort of help these people that are dealing with other owners that are doing that. So while, yes, you should make sure you stockpile those running backs early, those people are going to take those, you know, they may get three guys in our top 15
mm-hmm.
and then miss out on great receivers or a great quarterback or a great tight end because they didn't necessarily have to get one of those guys, and they could have waited another round or two, taking a receiver in that spot. I think you just really the bottom line is to sort of complement what you said is gauge your draft and the other owners, and especially if it's a long term league that you've been in. You don't have to necessarily reach for a guy. You know, ADP is a great tool, and it's in the player outlook when you click on their. When you click on the link in the draft
their
room.
Their page, their player page.
Well, not their or player page, in the little pop-up that comes up in the draft
right, room. You click a player's name right. in the draft room and pops up.
Yeah, you can see what the ADP is.
And which is average draft position.
Average draft position. Use that as a tool for you because you want to kind of stay in a range of where guys are going because the general consensus of all these drafts are going to kind of help you with the way your league is.
Okay. I think, yeah.
Don't forget to draft who you like.
Yeah, and I think
don't ever settle and go, oh, I guess I'll take Ryan Matthews in round five.
I don't mind
unless
Ryan
you really
Matthews.
Like Ryan Matthews.
I don't mind him in round five at all. I think if I learned anything in this 45-minute podcast is that my team is awesome and there's nothing you guys can do about it.
Unfortunately, it's a mock draft. We're not going to play this league out. Adam, you wasted your best draft of the preseason.
Well, my team's better than Will Brinson's, if you're listening.
On an April mock. What did Will do?
I don't know. He thinks that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is out.
And that Giovanni Bernard
that
is going to come in.
Gonna be better.
It's possible. I mean,
they know what they
have in Green Ellis.
Brinson and I were talking some smack.
His team is Russell Wilson at quarterback, CJ Spiller and Chris Johnson at running back.
My running backs are better.
Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Crabtree at receiver.
His receivers are better. His
Tony Gonzalez at tight end.
It's pretty good.
His flex.
My tight end's better.
His flex is
Giovanni Bernard,
his flex
Greg
Giovanni Bernard.
Jennings.
Giovanni Bernard
his flex
or Jeremy Maclin.
My flex is
or
better.
Jeremy Maclin. Got Greg Jennings. His receiving core trumps yours by a ton.
Yeah, but I'm only starting two.
He's got a pretty good team, I got to tell you.
Look, you know there are going to be receivers throughout
he
the
started
year.
To go, he started to trend downhill, though, after the Jeremy Maclin.
It's because I got in his head.
Yeah, but
yeah, but you did it eight picks too late.
Okay, well,
yeah,
thank
but,
you,
oh,
David.
No, actually, I take that back. The Maclin pick was good. Then he had Jennings. So he did good through nine picks. You did good through three. He wins.
This seems really good.
We'll see you later. It is not. Don't give him too much credit.
His team's better than yours.
I like Will Brinson. He's a good dude. Thanks a lot. Emails next week, I promise. A lot of emails next week. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Please put podcast or football podcast in the subject line. For Dave, Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, Matt Amazing. Talk to you next week.
Bye.